Welcome to Session 1 of PDH Online Course E281, Practical Plant Energy Reduction. My name is Tom Mason, and what I'm going to do today is read the course to you. Now, why would you do that? I mean, I spent a lot of trouble to type it out, and the people at PDH Online did a fabulous job converting it to PDH, and it looks good, and it's supposed to be readable, and it's supposed to convey the information. And I hope it's a good job in that regard. I'm very happy with the presentation of it. The reason for the audio version is some people, by their nature, respond better to hearing the story than reading the story. And this course is particularly for them. Now, I do other things for PDH Online, include teaching a live course for the state of New York. So I get to talk to people who take my courses, and a lot of them like listening to the course as well as reading it. And the funny thing about that is I try real hard not to put anything extra in the oral version of it. What I'm trying to do is just present it for the people who like hearing the story. What happens, though, is I read something and my mind's kind of clicking along there while I'm reading. I say, you know, that is kind of confusing. Why don't I explain it? So, in fact, you do get a little more explanation in the audio version than you do in the written version. Plus, I laugh at myself a lot more in the audio version. When I'm proofreading my written version, I laugh, but you don't get to hear that. We'll share that this time around. And one of the things in PDH, if you're aware of this, when you take the quiz afterwards, Dr. Juan, who runs the program, asks you to answer some survey questions. So I get comments periodically, and as I'm reading this to you, I will think of these comments that I know are going to be coming down the line, and I may try to answer them in advance. That would be paranoid if I did it in writing, but orally I think we're a little more forgiving, and it may even make it a little more interesting for you. So, this course provides procedures for achieving mandated plant energy reductions. Okay, first aside, that's not in the written course. I just came from a job where it was a state agency, and the state government said you will reduce your electrical energy usage. So I did this. I got paid to do this, and I'm sharing it with you. Now, the course keeps saying the state requires it. Well, what actually happened was the state was requiring it for internal state agencies. The state was not requiring it for outside manufacturing plants. But I think we can all see on the horizon this is coming this way. And it might be a good idea to scratch your head and have some ideas in place if it does hit your location. And just between you and me, energy reduction means saved money. Now, we're going to see there's political stuff involved in this. But really and truly, if you cut your kWh usage, you cut the cost off the income statement, and it leaves more money for people to pay overhead and engineering salaries and important things like that. Same thing applies certainly to the natural gas bill. We'll try to give them equal time. I am electrical by training. That's an apology on one hand, but I like electrical, so I'm not going to apologize that much. Energy reductions have always been available and sought by some firms. However, there's a cost and inconvenience to saving money by making changes. This has been avoided by many owners. Today, however, both federal and state governments and eco-sensitive executives are demanding annual measured energy reduction. This course provides explicit checklists to achieve energy reductions and discussion to help with the next round of mandated discussion reductions. And once again, this is anticipating what may be coming down the road a little bit in the future. The course includes a multiple choice quiz at the end, which is designed to enhance the understanding of course materials. Now, in the stuff that I copied down, it says we're supposed to do the course material next, but I'm going to read you the course outline. Course begins with a discussion of strategy to achieve meaningful energy reductions. This is followed by an energy balance for a generic plant, that is, the incoming energy sources, the product stream, and the waste stream. Actually, waste streams. Maintenance, perhaps surprisingly, is included. because cost of changes to achieve energy reduction show up either as capital projects or maintenance, labor, and material costs. Now, you're going to find as we proceed with the course that I talk a lot about doing this as a maintenance function, because I've been very successful in getting these things done as maintenance functions. I have never been successful getting them approved as a capital project. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to recommend it. I'm going to try and give you some hints on how to do it. But again, in my experience, the maintenance people are a lot more cooperative to diverting their very limited expense stream for these energy reduction projects rather than the plant management to spend really big bucks to get really big savings. In any event, let's see what we're doing here. After discussing the plant energy balance, each stream is examined in terms of measurements and controllable variables, that is, the knobs available to reduce energy use. The streams are electricity, natural gas, fossil fuels, water, compressed air, steam, chilled water, processed gases, saleable product, waste and reject product, waste heat, wastewater, and flue gas. Some of these are going to get some intense study. Some are going to get some very superficial comment. The concluding section of the course is a checklist summarizing detailed action items to achieve both immediate and long-term expected savings. The course includes a multiple choice quiz at the end, which is designed to enhance understanding of the course materials. Learning objectives. Upon completion of the course, you are supposed to be able to sketch the energy flows of a plant. And all we're saying is being aware of where the energy comes from and where it is metered, because we're going to find out metering is critical. You only have a project because you're going to reduce energy, and you've got to measure what it was before and what it's after, and it's either you succeeded or you failed. And knowing that up front tells you where to focus your attention and how to evaluate if you're successful or not. Describe the installation of survey meters to see where the electricity is going after it comes into the plant. Determine usable variances between a public utility bill and one from the following month. Usable variances. So how did the kWh change? How did the kW change? How did the weather change? And how did the production level change? And we'll talk a little bit about this. I mean, we're only going to spend 30 pages on this, so we're not going to beat anything to death. It's not an MBA. No, it's not. It's a little help to do some things right away to reduce energy usage. That's what we're after. Trend both metered elements of public utility bills and variances. Discuss the practical and political advantages of using contractors to provide and install metering equipment. Identify essential internal metering locations. Justify a short-term building shutdown for meter installation. Gather critical startup energy usage information following that shutdown. Recognize the needs for both short-term and long-term metered information. Identify a 5% reduction in electrical usage achievable within 12 months. That is, what do you do to get you a 5% energy reduction? Identify a 5% reduction in steam usage achievable within 12 months. Identify a 5% reduction in chilled water usage achievable within 12 months. Now, the magic of this is, it doesn't matter. If you've got a small steam plant, we'll save 5% of a small amount of steam. If you've got a huge steam plant, we're going to save 5% of a huge steam plant. Same thing for natural gas, chilled water, and compressed air. Identify areas of study for additional electric usage reductions. Things that you can't do quick and dirty and get an immediate payback. Identify areas of study for steam usage reductions. Identify areas of study for additional chilled water usage reductions. And identify areas of study for additional compressed air reductions. The course is intended for facility engineers. And that's a peculiar name which only shows up in some industries, but the function shows up in every plant. There's somebody who's responsible for keeping the plant going. Not keeping the product coming in and going out, but keeping the steam plant going, the compressor plant going, compressed air, we mentioned, CO2 if you've got that. Keep the lights on. I mean, there's somebody that has that responsibility. And at the end of the day, the plant manager asks why we're were the electric bills higher than they were last month. And we're going to take an aggressive stance. We're going to lower those electric bills. We hope the course will be valuable for facility managers, maintenance supervisors, and long-range planners. And again, those are different titles with slightly different functions in different industries. There are both technical and political aspects to energy reduction efforts. If they were easy and painless, they would have been done already. The course clearly identifies valuable efforts and attempts to quantify both the labor cost and production interruptions associated with each. A serious restriction of success is the knowledge of personnel lacking technical training but holding spending authority. There's some typos in there, and I just told everybody that the typing was okay. What we're saying is there's going to be resistance to doing this, even if management at the top says, go do it. Management in the middle and at the bottom will say, you are threatening me. You're making my life harder. I'm not going to help you. And what we're trying to do is understand what's going on here and get those people on our side, because what we're really talking is keeping the plant open. If we insist we're not going to change anything, we're going to be replaced by another plant that does make the changes so that they are producing the product at a lower cost. And let me tell you, I just came from working up for General Motors, and they compare their plants, and the plant that's making the product cheaper is the plant that gets the additional money and the expansion, and the plant that's doing it at the higher cost is the one that's going to be dark pretty soon. And I'm sorry to say that. It hurt me badly to be part of that pattern, but they didn't see any choice. And, well, let's not talk about General Motors because they've got other problems, but I think this applies to a lot of industrial areas. The discussions in the text are intended to help getting funds approved to achieve these goals. The reason the course exists is because federal and state governments and local executive-level personnel are issuing mandates that are measurable annual energy reductions for each facility. And then there's some yada, yada, yada about California Governor Schwarzenegger and how they're trying to do it. And there's also some federal stuff also. I'm not going to go through this because it's introductory. It doesn't really say anything. This course is written for somebody who has already gotten the mandate from his management. You must reduce plant energy usage. And they're willing to spend money to do it. It doesn't work without spending money to do it. If you are interested in this stuff about California and what's going on, there are internet references and some nice little graphs and stuff like that. In this lesson, you are required to download and study the following course, Practical Plant Energy Reduction, 2009 PDF. And that's what I'm reading to you. I mean, there's nothing magic about this. This stuff is free from PDH Online. If it's valuable, use it any way you can. It says copyright Tom Mason on every page. And what that means is I want you to take it and use it. I don't want anybody else making money off of it. We'll chase them with lawyers if somebody tries to sell it to a third party. But if a third party gets a hold of it and uses it and benefits and keeps jobs in America, I am very happy with that derivative. Please click on the above underlined hypertext to view, download, or print the document. And I don't think we're doing that right here. There's also a sample spreadsheet. Now, that was the idea of PDH Online. I put together the spreadsheet for illustration. And they said, well, give the students the spreadsheet. Well, there's nothing really good about the spreadsheet. It makes good pictures, and that's what it was for. But if it helps you to have a sample to work with, you've got it here also. The course promised, this is a summary. I never quite knew why we do these summaries, but it's supposed to sound to me like it's after you took the course. The course provided immediate measurable plant energy reductions by replacing lighting fixtures with lower wattage unit. By the way, if you took this course with some anticipation of getting value, this is the first value. Replace lighting fixtures with lower wattage units. Replace continuous duty motors with extra high efficiency units. And there should be a little star there saying there's a caveat on this. If they're already extra high efficiency, you don't want to go out and replace it with another extra high efficiency motor. So there's some analysis on this one. The one on the lights takes very little analysis. Anywhere you see a light, you put in a lower wattage light. And, well, I'm sorry, there were some caveats on that. I do not recommend that for inspection stations. I mean, that's part of keeping the plant open, is doing a good job on inspection. And I want them to have all the light they need. Also, executive conference rooms. In my experience, that's where the major decisions are made, when people are looking at stuff on the table with the decision makers around the table. And I want them to see every detail. I don't want to shortchange the decision to save a dollar or even $10. I mean, when you're making a $100 million decision, you spend $10 extra to help it be a better decision. Just about everywhere else, and I think maybe we could put security in here, you want to be a little careful reducing it, but reduce the wattage of lighting fixtures, reduce the plant energy usage, reduce continuous duty motors with extra high efficiency units. And again, that's with the caveat, make sure you're not changing out 92.2% motor to 92.3. Yeah, there's some energy reduction there, but that's just kind of nuts. If you can change a 92.2 to a 95, that is a real good job to go for. I mean, we're looking for a 5% reduction. If you pick up a 3% right there, you've done something good. Okay, repairing leaks in steam and compressed airlines. Let me say that again. It is so easy. Everybody knows how to do it, but they don't. Lethargy, sloth and lethargy, people don't fix stuff they know needs fixing. Well, they're giving us money to spend for energy reduction. Fix the steam and compressed airlines. Operating fewer fired heaters at higher firing rate, installing heat recovery wheels on all discharge airstreams above 75F, eliminating once through process heating and cooling systems. These are things to go out and do right now and save money right now, and see it next year when this billing comes around. There are severe climate components in energy usage. It's not fair to compare the September electrical usage with the October electrical usage. It is fair to compare the September 2009 with the September 2010. Now, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But obviously, you have to modify this for your own situation. One of the requirements from PDH Online is to include a section of internet links. So I went to the internet and I did some searches, and I'm sharing them with you, and a lot of this stuff's real interesting. It's not vital, though. With a few exceptions, the stuff is just people talking about it, especially on the strategy thing. Everybody's talking about it. Doesn't tell you anything useful to do. It just says, well, these people have said this, and look at the great pie chart. And sometimes they have clip art and wonderful things. In a very few cases, there are examples of people actually doing things. Oak Ridge National Laboratory of the U.S. government. Okay, those are real people, and they've got internet connection that will tell you about it. Very unsuccessful on the lighting references, and that should be out there, because I'm telling you to buy the high-efficiency lighting fixtures, and people are not advertising the high-efficiency lighting fixtures on the internet. I know they exist, but I wasn't able to find them, and I didn't think that was the purpose of this course, was to give you a purchase order for the right items. Be aware, there are extremely high-efficiency fixtures out there with new technologies. For instance, LEDs are a commercial light source today. Now, this may change everything you think you know about lighting, but the whole world has changed. There are a number of companies out there selling LED roadway lighting. Now, what is a more severe environment than roadway lighting? And they're selling LEDs for this purpose. Now, they're having a hard time explaining it, because they have to explain you can get by with fewer foot candles. In the world, and especially the engineering world, is not ready to accept that. But that's going to be one of our premises all the way through this course. Foot candles have always been bogus. What you need to do is get the job done. If you're hauling a pallet of stuff from one side of the plant to the other side of the plant, you have to be able to see if there's people wearing the orange vests, and you've got to be able to see if there's something you're going to hit with your lift truck. But you don't need to be able to pick out the stenciled writing on the side of the crate. Now, again, we're going to get into this in the course. My point here is there are light sources available. I wasn't able to find them, but they are out there. And LED's the one I mentioned because we're talking a tenth of a watt for a single lamp. The super high-powered lamps are 3 watts. This is compared with 400-watt and 1,000-watt kind of lamps that we use in industrial settings. Yeah, so you put in an array of 25 of them. My gosh, you're still below 100 watts. Okay, suspicious claims. I'm reading you the references here. A lot of people are offering to do magic for you regarding your, let's see, Magna General Class Natural Gas Cost, and it doesn't look right to me. People are talking about compressed air, things they will sell you that will help. Wonderful stuff on steam traps. Now, one of the joys of steam is it's been around for over 100 years, and people have been doing serious work on how to do energy reduction on steam systems, and there's a lot of good thinking out there. And what you have to do is hire somebody who knows how to do it and go ahead and do it and learn from him so you can maintain the program. And there are people that will do that for you. Chilled water. Marvelous advances have been done in chilled water in the last 20 years. And you got to find somebody that's really bright on chilled water systems to get a hold of these. Now, who are these people that are real bright? Well, they're out there, and I'm not the one to give you a list of who to send your request for proposals to. But so where would you find them? Hey, if it's going to be a useful course, I got to tell you where to find these people. Okay, what I said in the links in the PDH course was Chiller Efficiency Johnson Controls. And it was only a few years ago I went through one of these deals where they put up a huge tank with tons of insulation, I mean 12 inches of insulation on it, and freeze water in it at night, and use the melting ice during the day to chill a university campus. Now, why did they do that? Because they could run on one chiller that way. They didn't have to put in a new chiller. And the chiller worked better with the cooler the radiation temperatures at night than at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they were getting their demand peak on their chilled water system. So there are people who know how to spend some money and get some reductions, and the reduction should go on continuously for the life of the facility. Okay, I am not going to read you any more of these. It is time now to go into the content portion of the course. So I'm going to take a break. I usually like to get a glass of water during these breaks, but we will do breaks at about this interval in the future, and we'll meet again for the next session and start on the content, the published content of this course.